So certainly two of the most commonly used drugs are oral, which is, as you mentioned, ibrutinib, as well as lenalidomide, and he actually got lenalidomide. Can you talk about the side effect issues that come up with lenalidomide and lenalidomide rituximab, the R-squared regimen that he got and he actually responded to? What are the tolerability issues with lenalidomide in lymphoma patients?
Right. So there are a couple things that I always prep patients for. So the first thing is cytopenias. And then the second thing, when patients initially start, they can have a tumor flare where their nodes, and this guy definitely did, he had cervical lymphadenopathy, and I had warned him, you know, this is how this drug works, you can have this flare. His cervical adenopathy essentially doubled and then really quickly shrank down. So we've got to understand these little nuances to these drugs to be able to have our patients be ready for that so they're not just completely losing their minds over these things. You know, our typical chemotherapies all worked essentially the same way. Nothing got bigger, nothing got worse before it got better. Yeah, they could have a little tumor pain with the rituximab, but, you know, not doubling of lymph nodes. But he was ready for that. He was completely ready, and he messaged me through our medical record system, and I remember this, him saying, hey, it happened. Thanks for letting me know this was going to happen. I'm not worried about this. I'll keep you posted. And, you know, the next time I saw him, it was significantly smaller, his cervical adenopathy, so it pretty quickly flared and then reduced in size.
Did he have any quality of life issues with lenalidomide? Did he feel bad or anything happened
with the lenalidomide? His counts didn't tolerate the lenalidomide. We had to abandon it because of his counts, even with several dose reductions. Now, he's somebody who came into it very heavily pretreated, so his marrow just did not like the lenalidomide despite several dose reductions. But we did mission accomplished, right? So he got into his adenopathy improved significantly, and we've been monitoring him since that time. So just because you start people on these drugs that are hypothetically being done until toxicity or progression, it doesn't mean that if they stop for toxicity, that they're not going to get really a decent remission out of that.
So that's really interesting. How long has he been off therapy now?
So he's been off therapy for probably 6 months now, 6-8 months now.
So that's really interesting. So you kind of threw him into remission. You had to stop because the counts were low.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he's staying in remission off therapy.
That
must be awesome. Yes. For him.
It is awesome for him. Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's got a bunch of grandchildren, and he's recently retired, and he's all over the country visiting his grandchildren, and he's another one. It's all good. He feels well. When he has issues, it's cardiac, because he's also got congestive heart failure. So when his cardiac regimen is not right, that's what his symptoms are from, not the lymphoma.
Huh, fascinating. So he's got hopefully maybe ibrutinib sitting out there in the future.
Correct.
Potentially. Also bortezomib, and I don't know how often you actually use bortezomib for mantle cell. Do you use it, and what do you tell patients about it?
So, you know, we actually use it pretty rarely at this point because of the toxicity and the neuropathy and the cytopenias. I just feel like we have drugs that are less toxic, but it's certainly something that we keep in our back pocket.
Interesting.